My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast. Hello all, welcome to the EDP Formula One podcast. We are back for 2014. My name is Michael Bailey. We are at Archant Towers, ready and excited for a new Formula One season, and actually properly excited. Let me introduce who, we're going to speak to Perry Hamilton on the phone in a bit. I've done some stuff with him, so he can't be with us in person, but he's with us from his car. And if that's not exciting, I don't know what it's. It's also very apt that he's in a car. I can't guarantee he was doing.
He wasn't driving.
He wasn't driving.
That's right.
No. He wasn't feeling too well, actually.
Okay.
Not because of his driving, I suspect. And I have no guarantee that he wasn't doing, you know, 360 kilometres an hour or whatever it is that Formula One cars can do this season. But still, more of Ped to come later on. I am joined by my main man for this preview podcast, Kyle Cumbers, as you've heard from him.
Good evening.
It's fine. I like someone's allowed to laugh. That's good, Kyle. And Stephen Russ here as well. Hi, Steve.
Hello. You all right?
I'm good, thank you. You well?
Yeah, good, yeah.
Have you had good winters?
Yep.
Yes, very good.
If your winter was a Formula One team's, which was it closest to, would you reckon?
That's a good question.
It is a good question. I've just made that up on the hoof.
I'm going to go Ferrari.
Ferrari?
Quite quiet, but good.
Yeah? Ticked along nicely.
Yeah.
But we don't quite know
exactly
where it leads you, I suppose. I'm trying to think of what I would be. Yeah. Probably Caterham. Oh, I suppose I have to say that, don't I? Working really, really hard and playing catch-up. Not quite sure if I'm going to have my head above water when it all kicks off in a few weeks' time. Oh, in fact, this weekend. that's what I'm talking about, you see. I've completely missed the deadline. Maybe I should be Lotus. I just missed the deadline. Are we excited, then? Are we looking forward to this?
Because
it's been bubbling along. There's been a lot of issues. We're not sure, you know, what we were going to get. But I must admit, now that testing's done with and you get to that first race, there's nothing quite like it. It seems so exciting, Kyle.
Yeah, because, I mean, in previous years, I mean, we still don't know. In testing previous years, we don't know what teams come out well or whatever. Or, like, McLaren came out last year and were dreadful. But this year, I think we have no idea, really, who's going to... We have an idea, but, I think it's just going to be so unpredictable. I think, the first few races is going to be... Could be all year, actually. Could just be crazy and very unpredictable. So, looking forward to it.
That's the thing, I suppose, because we've almost, some years, thought it would be unpredictable, and then it hasn't. Mm. So, I suppose it's still that element, but with everything that they've had to change on the cars this year... It really is going to be unpredictable. There are going to be cars, you know.
Very much so. I think we're stepping into the unknown, really. You know, I mean, we're all sort of assuming that if you've got a Mercedes engine, you're probably going to be within a shout. But we're assuming that they're all going to finish the race on Sunday, you know.
Well, we'll come to that later.
So we don't know. I mean, I think it probably could be the most upside down season ever, really, which is what we all want, really. I think it's been a bit predictable, you know, over the last X amount of seasons. But I think this season could be a real turning point.
Because we all love Formula One. That's why we sit here in our own time. Steve, how bad did last season get? Because a lot of people stopped watching.
What it reminded me of is the Schumacher years at Ferrari, where it got too predictable and it just turned people off. And that's what it reminded me of, and I just sort of thought, thank goodness we've got a rule change just to break it up, because I think we would have had another X amount of seasons of Red Bull and Vettel winning and the predictability with it. I think we would have done.
We're not going to have that this year, are we?
It doesn't look like it.
Steve, for the purposes of the recording device, has put both hands in the air.
I think it couldn't have got much worse for Red Bull over the winter. I think looks like, well, obviously Renault have got a problem, but I think Red Bull also got a problem. In the past, Adrian Newey hasn't been a big fan of Kurs, as we've seen from Mark Webber's last few seasons.
Continuous,
Kurs
problems,
failure.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's a big fan of that, and it looks like he's designed a car maybe too aggressively, and he's they're definitely on the back foot at the moment. I mean, Red Bull got the resources to come back, but they could be that far back. That's not possible. But
it's going to be interesting how they deal with it.
I think they've only done a maximum of 20 laps in a row, so That isn't good going into a Grand Prix weekend.
It's crazy, really, when you do think about it. At least we know now that it wasn't the kinetic issue that Adrian Newey had a problem with, because he's still having the same issues with Ayres.
Yes.
I suppose, which is what it is this year. It's really powerful this year, by all accounts. Yeah. It's going to properly chuck those cars forward when they press the button. Surely Red Bull should have been okay, shouldn't they? Because Mercedes obviously have a really tight-knit arrangement with the engine provider, because they're effectively the same outfit. Ferrari, likewise, with the Ferrari-powered engines. Weren't Renault and Red Bull supposed to be pretty neatly tied in on that similar arrangement? How's it gone wrong?
Yeah, one would have thought so, but I've never truly sort of believed that, you know, that there's other teams out there with Renault engines, and, you know, it's been some time since that, you know, Renault had the Formula One team, which obviously we now know as Lotus. I think they've just been as much of a customer team, really. But, I mean, really, with how far ahead they were over the last so many seasons, there should have been, with no reason, particularly considering that they wrapped the championship up probably by mid-season, that they could have really have just stopped and concentrated on getting everything right for the following year. So it's amazing that they turned up in really what is now a terrible state, you know, 20 laps, and yeah, other teams have done, I think we're up to, what, 400 or something like that, 400 or 500 laps now, something like that, with most teams. So yeah, it's where has it gone wrong? You know, it's very questionable, but we'll have to see how they get on, whether they finish Sunday.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how Sebastian Vettel deals with it all, I suppose, as well, which is what some people seem to be raising. It's about time we saw Seb in adversity, as if he'd never, you know, had any adversity in his life before.
In a strange way, it could be quite a good year for him personally and his image.
He can win a lot of people over, yes, can't he?
So if it is a bad year, but he's still got a smile on his face, he still walks around well, or won 4 world championships. I think it could be a big year personally, yeah, and for his image. So but it will be interesting, because we do hear the occasional story, he likes to chuck his toys out of the pram, but we'll see if he does that publicly this year. And also his relationship with Ricardo as well will be a big step for him, I think.
It will be.
Fell out of Weber, and maybe it's time he sort of got on reasonably well with a teammate.
I wonder how many drivers have never chucked their toys out of a pram.
That's very true.
I can imagine, yeah, they're quite a short supply. Red Bull probably in worse trouble. Is there anyone else in testing who you look at them and go,
Definitely Lotus.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. They've, I think, have they done less laps than Red Bull?
They didn't turn up, did they?
Yeah. So
although didn't Red Bull only get one lap out of the first test?
Pretty much. Yeah.
So maybe they've done one lap.
Yeah.
But
you're definitely Lotus, you know. But another Renault team, you know. So yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows whether they'll even start? I don't finish.
Yeah, quite. I suppose it's a bit different with Lotus, isn't it? Because they've had a lot of expertise leave.
Yeah.
They've lost a lot of experience. They're in financial dire straits, effectively. And they've lost Eric Boullier to McLaren.
Yeah, it's not been a good few months for them. They lost a lot of people as well.
Pastor's obviously there. Pastor Maldonado will be driving for them this year.
Yeah,
with number 13, which he's chosen.
Is it lucky in Venezuela or something?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know
the cultural niceties of number 13.
Yes, they could probably do about losing a few wings in the early days for money reasons, but they came out with a very unique front nose, which I'm growing to like. Yeah.
Now, you see, I would like it if the two noses, tusks, were the same length. I can't understand how you can have a car isn't symmetrical when you cut it down the middle.
Yeah, I'd understand. So obviously the longer one is to go along with the rules.
Yeah, well, they're both are, I think, because the second one... one is for the chassis, and I think the other is for the nose. Okay. And that's why one has to be shorter than the other. It's definitely purely rule...
Yeah.
A rule issue.
But to me, like I said, it doesn't make sense to have... Yeah, not symmetrical, but... There's clever people than me that designed
the car. Let's hope so, Carl. okay, well, Lotus in trouble. Interesting driver lineup, but it's a shame because Roman was brilliant last year, so you'd like to think he'll get the chance to carry it on. They did finish fourth in the Constructors' Championship. Marussia struggled for laps as well, and they're almost a bit of a non-entity, I suppose.
Yeah, especially for a small team, you know, with not many resources, you know, to sort of be in trouble with this much of a change is not good for them.
Would you say Caterham have fared better?
Probably, yeah, I would say so, really. Yeah, better than that, definitely.
A lot more changes, I suppose, for Marussia. Ferrari engine, isn't it? Ferrari,
yeah, Ferrari
power this
engine,
year,
yeah.
Which is a big change.
I think the big advantage they had is the two same drivers this year. And I think it's a big chance, the first few races, if they can somehow get to the end of the race, for points.
There's got to be, hasn't there? A top 10 finish for either team. Neither team has picked up a point before. Caterham finished 11th, that's the closest they've got.
Yeah, and if they are, them two going to be battling for 10th again. I think it could be decided within the first four or five races. So, yeah, these first few are definitely huge races for Marussia and Caterham.
Caterham, completely new driver lineup, Steve. Kamui Kobayashi, Marcus Ericsson. What do those names say to you?
I remember Kobayashi with all of his overtakes. You know, was that 2010 we last see him?
No, I think it was he only missed last year, didn't he, I think? Didn't he only miss last year? Was it Sauber? It's been a while since we had to check something, fact-wise, on the EDP F1 podcast.
He's been a Ferrari GT driver, isn't he? But I don't know.
But yeah, interesting. Interesting driver lineup with that. Be good to see how that pans out.
I think it's quite good, Kobayashi, because he's always... a Sauber, he always seemed to be a driver that would pop up with a really good race one weekend, and then he'd been missing for half a dozen races. And sometimes that's probably what you need, somebody at the back, I don't know, in Japan or wherever, he just comes in, has a good weekend, and then might get a few points. And Ericsson, I think he's been quite impressive in GP2.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? We still can't fathom how good drivers are that come up from GP2, because we've seen a few good ones and a few stinkers and things like that. It was 2012, Kamui's last season, so he he did miss the one, just the one season. So it was obviously a long season without Kamui in the running. You see, we really did miss him. So we said who is in major trouble. Who's looking good? And I think we've already touched on it a little bit. Is there anyone else, or is it primarily Mercedes? Are they the ones that we're looking at and thinking?
I think they're the ones, I think they're probably the number one team at the moment, well, appears from testing. Most mileage, quickest. I mean, the first test, they're the first ones out at 9 o'clock. I think a lot of teams didn't even bother in the first morning. I mean, also the front wing problem, I think, the lowest. They've seen the team, but I think all the Mercedes engine teams look quite comfortable. Williams had a good one. McLaren sort of seemed to start well and haven't had a great... I think the pace seemed to... disappear in the last the last couple of tests in Bahrain. I also heard Jensen Button said they kind of built a safe car to improve, but last year they were a bit radical and ended up going nowhere, so maybe they'll improve. But definitely Mercedes teams, and I think, I don't know, I've got a feeling for Ferrari. I've sort of been hiding a little bit. I do fancy them for a strong start.
Got a lot of laps in, didn't they, over testing? It's just a question of whether they're very good, very quick.
I mean, I read this evening that Alonso and Raikkonen said that they're aiming for a podium finish at the weekend, and whether that's, you know, with reliability in the back of their mind as concerns, or whether that's where they think they realistically am, I don't know. But they're always fast stars. You know, they didn't seem to matter whether they started at the bottom of the top 10. By the first lap, they were up to the front. So I think we've always got to be fearful of those. But still, for me, I still think Mercedes, I still think they're the ones. I mean, they, from what I know of, they started on this season's car first out of all of the teams.
2 years ago, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah, they started. And the last time that they did that, the name was Braun, and what happened there.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's my general feeling on that one, that it would be something fairly similar.
Well, Miss Ross this year is officially retired, he said.
Yeah, he did some... Although, was it a fishing event, he said.
Yeah, if that doesn't sum up retirement, I don't know what does. Okay, well, I've got here best engine, but I don't really think that's obviously through testing, but I think we know the answer to that. Most attractive car, the car you like the look of, because I mean predominantly I suppose we're looking at the front nose because that's the most striking. The actual rest of the car is only slight differences, really. It's quite subtle.
I think the actual design of the car, it's got to be Mercedes. The front end isn't too bad, Probably the best way to describe
it.
But I think for the paint scheme, it's got to be the Williams
Martini. I thought you might say that.
That's just cool.
It's just cool.
Exactly, yeah.
Steve, is there a car you like the look of?
I was hoping you weren't going to say either of those, because that's exactly what I had in mind. I mean, the reason why I like the Mercedes, really, I mean, similar reasons for you, the front nose, but they've also managed to quite cleverly with the camera mounts, sort of just set back from the front nose, that have made them like little aerodynamic thing. And I think that's quite unique and probably quite clever. I think that'll be copied by a lot of the other teams, and I quite like that, you know. Again, even paint scheme, you know, with Williams is a sort of a harp to the past, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. It's a classic.
Yeah.
The Ferrari looks nice. The Ferraris always seem to look like 1980s cars or Transformers.
They look horrible.
Yeah, I think everyone...
The front nose just looks...
Sat on it, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't about to say stamped on it.
Yeah, well... Yeah, don't they all? They all look like that or weird.
I think the Force India looks quite cool as well, apart from the front nose. That's sort of...
Yeah.
But I mean, frankly, with them going at speed, I think we won't sort of notice the...
They are bizarre, aren't they? These weird nose things. I mean, anteaters and...
Different interpretations of the rules and trying to best solution. Because the purpose of them are meant to be lower, aren't they?
Yeah.
To avoid what happened to Mark Webber in Valencia, I think it was, where he was following behind one of the caterers.
Kovalainen, wasn't it? And then just zipped up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Caterham is a bit of a weird one because that's very boxy, and then there's just this nose that dangles down.
Yeah, it's a bit sort of a Lego front end. But I heard they interviewed kind of the head designer,
Mark Smith.
Yes, correct. He sort of gave the idea that he might copy the Lotus tusk.
Really?
Yeah,
quite like that. Interesting. So. Did he? Well, it's not symmetrical, Mark. Don't do it. After dropping the text. Okay, well, I've done best livery. We should talk about the drivers, I suppose. There have been a few changes. What's exciting you most, driver-wise? Because there is a chance of fireworks at Ferrari, especially, I would say, with Alonso and Raikkonen.
Possibly, but Raikkonen just seems to be the most casual, laid-back person anyway. I think if you
try to get in the car,
I think if you tried to get in an argument with him, I just don't think it would work.
I like that idea. You just walk off.
I don't know. I think McLaren's new driver, Magnussen, you know, he's had quite a good start, really. He seems to have just fitted straight in, you know, without any problems. Could be interesting. Could give Jenson Button a run for his money. But other than that, there's not particularly anyone that's really stood out. I mean, we haven't seen anything of Ricciardo because, well, the car hasn't really worked. So I don't know, really.
Force India, I suppose. Sergio Perez, Nico Hülkenberg, and they have a Mercedes engine.
They do, yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a very good partnership. Two young drivers. And, I mean, as I said on here before, Hülkenberg deserves a better drive, but he might get his good drive this year.
Still doesn't look right seeing Nico back at Force India.
No, he does need to stay at a team for longer than 1 year. But I suppose he's hunting for that big drive then.
Well, exactly. This is it. I suppose we should touch on Mercedes as well. Lewis and Nico Rosberg. If that car is flying, that's going to be exciting, isn't it?
It is. I think I was reading reports that sort of Nico Rosberg said that he's left sort of nothing unturned in his preparations to try and beat his teammate. So, yeah, I mean, if the car is, you know, where probably most people expect it to be, then that could be very, very interesting. Could just be a two-way battle between the two of them, really. I think they're probably quite evenly matched in a car that is, you know, really on it.
It'd be quite interesting to see there, if they are at the front and are battling just between them two, it'd be interesting to see their relationship, because we've been told that they've been good friends since karting at like 10 years old, still get on well now, having their neighbours as well in Monaco, and so it'll be interesting to see if they are just them two battling out, how that relationship carries on
from Nico. Remember that one, because you know it's coming back again. I haven't forgotten it. What was that, Malaysia, wasn't it, last year?
Yes, Austria. Yeah,
they'll remember that one. Okay, well, this is impossible task, so I'm going to ask you season predictions. Now, last year we all predicted, it was me, you, Kyle, Ped, and DT, I'd imagined, all said Fernando Alonso to win the title. How did that pan out?
I was hoping more than
that. So, I'll ask Ped when we speak to him in a moment. Kyle?
I'm going to have to go Mercedes, and then as a Lewis fan, I've got to go Lewis.
See, that's what I would say as well.
I think Nico will, yeah, we'll go close, we'll run him. But I think just Lewis's speed, we'll have enough for him. I think, because a lot of people have been saying, can Lewis adjust to these new rules? But I think his speed will counter that. And I think, I think the new cars will suit him. And I think also, I think Mercedes, with them spending 20 million on his salary, you'd have thought they'd be able to design the car around him. I mean, I don't know what Rosberg's on, but he was a big signing.
Not as much.
Not as much, yeah. I imagine he's their big signing, and I imagine they've designed the car towards him. So I'm going to go Lewis.
Because they're going to be quite racy cars as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they might suit Lewis in a way.
That's a pretty good call. Steve?
Well, sadly to say, mine would be exactly the same.
You're going to say Lewis?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Well, being a Lewis fan as well, but I just think much of the same, really. You know, I mean, I think that from what I know of, the tyres are going to be a little bit more durable. So I think that will help him. But the cars are sort of quicker in different ways. I think that probably will suit him. So, yeah, I tend to think so. But I think it will be a very close fought season, whatever happens between him and Nico Rosberg. I think they'll be very, very evenly matched. Could be something similar to 2007 when he was with Alonso, where it really was sort of one or the other, and no one really knew till the last couple of races. But that would be where my money would be.
Oh, it would be mine too, ultimately, which is the sad
thing. Great.
Although I am sitting here thinking, well, Lewis has had a tendency to muck things up occasionally. Yep. I just wonder if Ferrari have got a tight car that's reliable and that maybe isn't blisteringly quick, but he can get the most out of. Maybe it's Fernando's year to get that third driver's title. Yeah. I found myself thinking that. Mm. I'm going to leave it open so that I can manipulate it when the season finishes and either say, yeah,
look, make predictions or British Grand Prix times.
I might. You know, I might leave it open. Okay, it's time now. Just have a quick chat to our main man, Perry Hamilton, somewhere in Norwich.
Ped, good to speak to you. New season upon us. Are you excited?
Do you know, I wasn't. Oh. But now that it's kind of here, I am. And I don't know what that is. I think it's just a fact of, like, that new hope, isn't it? It's towards the end of last season, we were all a little disappointed. It wasn't really a nail-biter. There was all this sort of hype around it going into the season. We all sat there like mugs and said Alonso would be world champion. and it never really happened. And it, you know, said just ran away with it in the second half of the season. I think people got a bit jaded. But I actually am really excited about this season now. The stories that are coming out of testing and the instability with the engines and who hadn't done what, and I know they've adjusted the tyres to make it seem a bit more fair and a bit more workable, which, you know, tyres are obviously a key word last year. So, but I am. I didn't think I would be, but now that the moment is upon us, I definitely am.
Oh, man. Okay, then. Well, there have been a few issues. We can never really say what's going to happen from testing, but more importantly, the cars. Is there one you actually like?
I quite like it. You're going to hear, this is going to be a continuing theme throughout our conversation, I hear, I feel, Michael, but I quite like the Merc.
Yeah.
I think the Merc is a very pretty looking car. I think they've done very well. It's a gorgeous beak. However, I do also have to say, and I genuinely believe I'm in the minority here, I like the Lotus nose. and I think you knew that I would, but because I know we had a brief discussion about it during the off-season, but I actually quite like the Lotus nose. I think the Ferrari's got too much black on it. You know, I don't like that. I like the Ferrari should be red, like a proper scarlet red. But I think the Merc looks good solidly. I mean, you know, aesthetically, we're talking about that, but Merc looks good both ways, really.
The Merc and McLaren, they both look pretty similar. I think that's fair. I don't know if you're going to be able to pick them apart this season.
Oh, I think we'll manage. I mean, but then I'm terrible. There were a couple of seasons there where I had trouble telling a Marussia from a Ferrari, so I think that might be why I lost that bet to you, actually, Michael.
I think it probably was.
I was thinking about, yeah, I was confusing Ferraris and Marussia. There you go.
Wonderful.
No, they will be, but I mean, they've been hard to tell apart for a few years. Any team that runs in silver is kind of difficult to see, but yeah, I mean, I think we'll do all right.
Awesome stuff. So who are you going to be looking out for then? Who's your sort of tip over the course of the season?
Who's my tip over the course of the season? Obviously, I like to pay attention to the young drivers. Magnussen, McLaren, that'll be an interesting one to see how he goes. This is their second young driver experiment now, since obviously the Sergio Perez experiment, I would say, was deemed to have been a failure, really. So I'll be looking out for him. Established drivers, I'm looking out for Kimi back in the Ferrari, I think we all are. And I'll be looking for Roman to take that next step in a Lotus.
Yes, indeed. The issue I have with the Lotus car is that it's not symmetrical. I don't understand how you can have a Formula One car that is not symmetrical.
My interest in it, and this, I don't know. I haven't got a hotline to the technical department at Lotus, unfortunately. You probably, sir, have probably got more of it than I have, so it might be worth asking. But obviously, one side of the coat of the nose is longer than the other. Now, is that going to swap to the other side for clockwise and anti-clockwise racetrack? So is it that the longer side of the nose is always going to be near side, or is it always going to be offside? And I don't know, and I don't know what the regs are surrounding that. I'd be really interested to see how that plays out over the season.
That's a great point. We'll get to keep an eye out on that one, most definitely. What else have we got here then? Right, well, there's a few predictions I'm going to ask the other guys. They don't know that yet, so that's going to be coming up in a moment. So I need to ask you first. And this is obviously, as defending champion, very important to you. So there's a lot riding on this. The first one is a difficult one. How many, tell you what, we'll start with the season. Who's going to win the championship this year? Constructor and driver.
Constructor and driver. I'm going to be really bold here, and I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton. I'm going to go with Lewis Hamilton to win the Drivers' Championship. Constructors is a little tighter, I think, and I think you'll see enough consistent finishes from Red Bull for them to fill it back again.
Okay.
So I think Red Bull will do enough to get consistent, solid points. I don't think Ricciardo's going to be threatening for a lot of wins, but I think certainly podiums and high point finishes. Seb's going to be Seb. I just don't think he's going to be able to do it enough, and I think Mercedes at Lewis Hamilton. I think Hamilton's going to bring home driver, and I think Red Bull are going to bring home Constructors.
Okay, I love it. And then to Australia, you've got your three predictions to make for that one. Good luck. But also, the one that I'm going to get everyone to do, how many cars are going to finish the race in Melbourne? It's basically a sweep, and you have to give me a number, no ranges.
No, I'll give you a number. Well, I think we're going to have four retirements.
Okay.
That would mean how many cars would that be? 22 in total.
So you're suggesting 18?
18 to finish.
18 to finish.
18 to finish.
I like your optimism there. And then give us some predictions.
Prediction. I'm gonna give Ricciardo hometown advantage. I'm gonna give him a podium.
Okay.
I'm going to say Mercedes front row lockout. That's a continuing theme from last year, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Mercedes front row lockout. I'm going to say Ricciardo on the podium. And I'm going to say a rookie driver in the top eight.
Okay, a rookie in the top eight. I love it. It's good to be back, isn't it?
It's great to be back. I've been thinking about this all the time. I'm upset that I can't be there in person with you guys talking about this. But yeah.
It's all right. We'll be back next week post-Australia. So plenty of time for that over the season. Cheers, Ben, for your time.
Always a pleasure, Michael. I'll speak to you soon, pal. Take care.
Right, that was Ped. Thanks to our main man. Let's rejoin Stephen Rust and Carl Cumbers, who are joining me here. We're going to talk about the Australian Grand Prix. First Grand Prix of the season, Melbourne. We like Melbourne, don't we? Do we like Melbourne?
Yeah, no, it's always a good race. It seems to be one of those circuits that just seems to suit very nicely as the first race.
It does,
really.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
You know, you always seem to get a good race there. You know, always with a bit of drama. I don't ever really recall a dull race at Melbourne. Unless someone can correct me on that.
No, especially, I remember enjoying it a lot.
Yeah.
And it is a good place to start the season, isn't it? Feels it.
Yeah, because I think the season is going to be unpredictable anyway, but it's often quite an unpredictable race in a more straightforward season. So, I think sometimes a bit of weather around as well, a bit of rain, which causes...
Good grief, can you imagine if it rains? Oh my goodness me, it's going to be carnage. So,
yeah, it's just a good season opener.
All right then, well, this is the sweep. I've asked Ped this, I now ask you this, gentleman. I need a number. How many cars are going to finish Sunday's race? 22 on the grid at the start, assuming. Because it might be fewer. But then, of course, if they didn't start the race, they're not going to finish it, so that's fine. And it's a tough one, because I've got no idea.
The exact number?
Yep. Exact no number. Ranges. I don't want ranges.
I'm going to go 12.
Okay.
10 aren't going to finish.
Okay.
One Renault will finish.
I think 10 will finish.
10.
So I'm going to... 12 won't.
I think 13 will finish.
Oh, is that unlucky or lucky? I can't remember. 13 will finish.
13 to finish.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. Extra bonus points in the Prediction League for that one when we come to add it up. Of course, this is the first round of the Prediction League. Last year's winner, Ped, was comfortably ahead. Carl, you were the winner in 2012. Looking to get back your crown, I'm sure.
Right, yeah, I can take it seriously.
I finished second last year, which was remarkable, really. Probably helped out by the algorithm that conjured up.
Is it the same for this year?
Yeah, I think it will be. Okay. I think it was fair enough. I think it was fair enough, although, well, I don't know. DT did have a higher percentage than me, but he turned up for fewer times, so therefore he had less chances to get it wrong. That's how I judge it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Boom. Anyway, what do you want to predict, Carl? Good luck.
Cool. This is a tough one.
Because there are other changes. They've changed qualifying slightly. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that will be the least of our worries, really, qualifying.
But. Also, I think the extra set tyres not that exciting for P1, so crowd should have a bit more action.
Yeah, I like to think P1, so, wouldn't you?
So,
maybe not this weekend.
Yeah, I'll try.
Well, you'll probably need to get out there, to be honest. I'll need the testing.
Might
time.
Try, but then
I'll yeah. So anyway, don't get out of them, Carl. Predictions.
Oh, sorry, yeah, predictions. I'm going to go Hamilton for pole.
Okay.
I don't know about winning because, I don't know. It's just, I suppose we've got to go for a winner.
You don't have to.
No, I will.
Okay.
I'll go Hamilton win.
Okay.
The double. I'll go for a Williams on the podium and a Force India on the podium.
On the podium?
Yeah.
Love it. Good work.
So that's four. I've got to go back to my out in Q1. I might go for the big scalp. Vettel out in Q1.
Oh, love it. Love it. Great stuff.
So yeah, that's my... Yeah.
That's your four. Host of predictions.
Yeah.
Some big calls in there. I like it. Right then, Steve. Predictions.
Yes. I think...
First time you've done this, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Qualify for...
Whatever you want.
For pole. I'm going to say Rosberg.
Okay. Pole. I was running through my mind, but that's all right.
And I'm going to say probably, as Hamilton was mentioned, I think he'll probably qualify about third. As for the race, I would probably tend to lean towards Hamilton, but that's just me being a Hamilton fan. It's such a difficult one this season, but that's probably what I'd lean towards. As for Q1, since it was mentioned, the other prediction, I think to a big surprise to drop out, I would go with Vettel, but I think you could see someone else in there as a big name to drop out. Grosjean. We could go with that, you know.
Grosjean out in Q1.
Yeah, yep. I could go with that one. I think it was possible. And I think that is about as far as I can go on predictions.
Okay. I want to go radical. I'm thinking Red Bull will pick up a point.
Ooh.
Which I think is fairly radical. I think Rosberg will win the race. I think Caterham will pick up their first World Championship point. Come on, Caterham. Green machine. Lean green machine. And I think Hülkenberg will be on the podium. Mm-hmm. And there you go. Boom. We're off.
He might be not be a bad shape for pole, because he's quite a good qualifier.
He is.
Maybe a bit of an outside. Maybe an outside bet.
He might be. For anyone, if anyone wants an outside bet, money's at your own risk, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't come calling to us. All right, I think we're done. Brilliant stuff. It feels good to be back, gents.
Yep.
Great stuff. Right, well, big thanks to Steve and to Carl and to Ped earlier as well. What have we got? We've got EDP F1 stuff all over the place. We've Twitter, at EDPF1. Follow the Twitter feed. I'm on Twitter, at Michael J. Bailey. These guys are on Twitter. No, Steve's still not on Twitter. He's shaking his head. One day it will happen. Kyle?
Yeah, still the same, at Kcumbers.
Still the same. Damn right. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/EDPF1. Stuff on there too. And I do a weekly column, which is in the Eastern Daily Press every Wednesday. I think it's staying the same day. That also goes up online, along with these podcasts and various other news involving Lotus and Caterham. And GP2 as well. There'll be links through to that. Of course, there's a bit more of a GP2 interest locally this year, which is good to hear. We'll get stuck into that, I'm sure, over the course of the season. The website address, edp24.co.uk/F1. Loads of stuff there. Great. Thanks, gents.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week after Australia. We follow the carnage. Can't wait. Bye for now.